Roberts from the Register of Voters. So here we go. Thanks for listening. This is Epicenter on KWMR West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. featuring a wide array of community and public affairs. Today I'm engineering for your host, Supervisor Dennis Redoni. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Amanda. How are you today?
Good. Did you hear me yell at you when I rode my bike by your house and you were getting in your car?
I did not hear you. Sorry. Oh. I missed you.
I saw the door, the garage door going up, and I was just like, hey, Dennis. So.
Missed that.
All right.
Thanks for shouting out, though. I'll get started with my COVID weekly update, and then we'll move over and get Linda on board. Linda Roberts is the Marin County Register of Voters, and we're going to talk a little bit with her about her job today and the election changes may be coming up. So today's obviously weekly COVID report. We're still looking at 11,812 total cases in Marin. That's up 53 in the last week, or about 1%. We've had two additional deaths in Marin over the last week. That's 183 total to date, and that's about a 1% increase. Tests completed in Marin, 7,172. That's down from almost 10,000 the week before, and we're at a total of 461,512 total tests. Cases in the last 14 days, 104, that's down from 120, so about a 13% drop from the week before, which is good news. Hospitalizations, total 385, that's up one in the last week. And currently hospitalized, we only have two people in the hospital and one in ICU. And those hospitalization numbers are really important because that's really what the health officers are looking at right now, because having less people in the hospital from this pandemic means that the vaccination is working. And while people may be having breakthrough cases and getting the COVID virus, they aren't getting as sick as we would expect. Those who have vaccinations wouldn't get as ill. California cases, we still had 10,000 cases in the last week and 490 deaths. So certainly the virus is still active in California. No additional cases in skilled nursing care and residential care facilities this past week. And the death toll there remains at 134, which is again roughly 90% of the total deaths. West Marin had additional five cases in the last week. We're now up to 199 total cases, 77 in the Point Reyes, Marshall, Inverness, and North District area, Stinson Beach, Bolinas, Mir Beach, 40, Lagunitas, Nicasio, 41, and Woodacre, San Geronimo Valley, 41. So a slight uptick in West Marin, although it's down from the week before. Good news on the vaccination. We continue to vaccinate people. We now have almost 180,000 first doses given to people at almost 86%. 150,000 have received two doses in Marin, 71.4%, which is a really, really high number. This county continues to lead the state. We've given 320,837 total shots in Marin to residents. And there's 210,000 eligible residents in Marin right now. And we're going to add in the 12 to 15-year-olds coming this week on Friday. We're still sitting in the orange tier. Right now, the numbers look like we may not shift out of that orange tier in time. We think the June 15th deadline the state has set to eliminate the tier system may come before we actually get out of the orange tier. But all good news on the COVID front. People are still getting vaccinated, and now people can walk in and get vaccinations. Just look it up on the Marin HHS vaccination website when those sites are open. So again, good news on the COVID.
And just a quick reminder, they are doing vaccines at the Inverness Fire Department today from 9 to 1:30. So if anybody's interested, you can scoot on over to Inverness.
Thank you, Amanda. I appreciate that. So I want to welcome Linda Roberts to the show. Linda is the Marin County Register of Voters, and I know she's familiar to the West Marin audience. She was on many times last year before the election. Linda, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Dennis.
Good. Really a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. Could you tell some of the West Marin audience a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in Marin County?
Sure. My career in public service and elections actually started many years ago when I worked for Salt Lake City Municipal Government. And then I worked for the University of Utah Political Science Department for many years. I graduated from there in 2005 with a Master Public Administration degree. Went to the Big Island of Hawaii for about 18 months to work at in the development department of a school. And then I came to Mono County, which is in the Eastern Sierra, in 2007. And I was the clerk, recorder, registrar, and clerk of the board there for 7 years. And then I was appointed as the registrar here in July of 2014. So I'm coming up on a 7-year anniversary here.
Well, congratulations on your 7-year anniversary.
Thank you.
Could you tell us a little bit about your job as registrar of voters and what are your responsibilities? Something maybe the listeners would know is your job.
Sure. Pretty much my job as registrar is to oversee the operations of the department. I also need to stay current on new laws that we have to implement. And I think probably one of my most important jobs is to lead the department through changes. But our department overall is responsible for maintaining the voter registration rolls and obviously conducting elections. We also track candidate and campaign financial reports, reports that candidates have to file periodically, and also conflict of interest statements that various employees around the county have to file. So we track all that. There's about 1,000 of those conflict of interest statements. So that's a fairly big job. And then when we get petitions, either locally or statewide petitions, we also check those signatures. So that's kind of the few bullet points of what we do in the department.
So regarding checking signatures, I just thought about this. So with the Newsom recall going on, did you actually have to check some signatures from Marin County?
We did.
In that recall?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000, sort of somewhere in that neighborhood, signatures that we checked, or maybe 5,000 to 7,000.
All right, interesting. Yep, I think Marin County residents love signing petitions. I think. How large is your department, and how many employees do you have?
Including me, there's 10 permanent employees. And then when we need to staff up for an election, we may bring in 30 to as many as 50 additional extra help employees. And the November 2020 was, as we know, it was a really big election with a lot more registered voters, a lot more vote by mail. So we brought in quite a bit of extra help for that election.
One of my questions for you, might as well get to it now then, is how did that election go for Marin? And is there anything you thought we should have done differently or even the state should have done differently?
It went really well, actually. Under the circumstances, we got changes, pretty significant changes, fairly late in the election cycle. Changes that came to us in August that we had to then turn around and implement, as voters probably remember, you know, just the difference in locations, number of locations, more drop boxes, which was a really good thing. So I guess if anything could have been done differently, it would have been nice to have those changes earlier in the cycle, maybe June instead of August. And probably I would have brought in more of our extra help earlier. We started getting the ballots much earlier in the before the election than we typically do. So it was a little hard to plan how many people we might need to help take ballots out of envelopes. And so we were getting so many, we were kind of scrambling to get more people in to help us so that we could, the more we can get out ballots out of envelopes and processed, you know, the more we can count before election day. So that was one thing I would have done differently, is just get more people in sooner.
Dennis, you're muted.
Hey, thank you. In Marin, we have a lot of potential elections in cities, special districts, school districts. Do you know how many potential elections we have in Marin and how many elected positions there are?
Yes. I looked back through since I've been here for the last 7 years, and we've had anywhere from 2 to 4 elections every year. And most consistently, it's 3 elections every year. So even in odd years when we're not having statewide elections, we're having local elections. And we've got, there are about 330 locally elected offices. So that would include city councils, school districts, special districts, those local offices. Doesn't include the central committees and judges and state offices, but 330 locally elected offices.
Quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. It makes a candidate filing very busy when these elections come around.
And you just had an election in Santa Fe schools.
Right.
How did that go? And was that a mail-only ballot election?
It was. The May election date is a mail-only election, and it went very well. We're just finishing up this week. We're going to do our manual tally on Friday. That's where we manually count a percentage of the ballots just to confirm that the automated count was accurate. And then we'll certify the election next week, next Wednesday. We plan to certify the election. And we will post updated results today and then again Friday, whatever. We're in a period of time where people who didn't sign their ballot envelope or their signature didn't quite compare, we've sent them letters and they have this week to fix that problem.
Do most of those people come in and attempt to fix that problem?
We're still waiting for a few. I know we had about, I think we have about 50 outstanding. So we're waiting for letters to come in this week. Monday's the deadline, so we'll see what we get by Monday that we can process.
And then it sounds like the date of the election determines whether it's by mail or not.
Right. There are two specific mail-only election dates that are in the elections code. The May election date, and then there's an August. Towards the end of August. That is also a vote by mail only election date.
And what's our next election then in Marin? August?
Nobody has called a special election for August. So the election we are anticipating would be the potential recall. You know, so recall is in the process, and you know, different offices at the state level have 30 days to do a variety of things, and so we won't know for a while if the election will be called or when it will be, what the date might be. So we're still waiting as it works through the process, but we anticipate at this point maybe November, late November, but it could be earlier than that if the processes happen quicker than 30 days.
Okay. Very good. So we're waiting on the state to make that decision.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then we have a 2020 election, a 2022 election coming up, obviously, as the next general. What changes are you seeing for that election, and what should the voters expect that election to look like?
For the general in November of 2022, actually, I haven't really thought that far down the road yet. I've been thinking more about this potential recall, and our next statewide would actually be the primary election that's scheduled for June. So I guess, you know, new laws that are passed this year that may impact elections, but we won't know till those laws are passed and in effect what might impact changes for the November of 2022.
And have we made changes in Marin, like going to vote centers and things? Has that already been decided, or is that yet to be decided for 2022?
Yeah, the Board of Supervisors has expressed an interest in the Voters' Choice Act for a couple of years now. So we've been looking at that process of implementing vote centers, and the board will consider an agenda item at their May 25th meeting to support implementation of the act. So, based on that action on the 25th, if we move forward, it will be implemented by the June 2022 primary election, and then obviously carry forward, and that would just obviously impact the general election as well.
And does that mean it would be similar to the November 2020, where there are mail and vote centers?
Exactly. It would be very, very similar to how we operated the election in November 2020. Pretty much we implemented everything except with vote centers, voters will be able to go to any location. And we weren't able to do that in November 2020 because that requires ballot printing equipment so that a voter can walk into any location and get the ballot they need. So what we did in November 2020 was kind of a hybrid model. We still assigned voters to a specific location because we needed to have their specific paper ballots, an inventory of paper ballots to serve those voters. And so, but everything else we did was basically vote center. You know, we used laptop computers so the workers could access voter records to make sure, you know, people were registered, and if they weren't, they could register and vote that day. And, you know, so all the other services that we provided in November 2020 were typical to what we would provide at a vote center.
And then
Sorry. I was just going to say, and plus the drop boxes we implemented throughout the county starting 28 days before an election. That's also a requirement with the Voters Choice Act. And they were really popular, especially our drive-through box at the Civic Center. I think overall we received 54% of our ballots through drop boxes. So I think voters really appreciated those and they used them.
I know there was a steady stream of cars pulling into the Civic Center and people dropping off ballots.
Yeah.
What would the voting centers look like from West Marin? Would there be one or two in West Marin, or do you know if that's been planned for yet?
We're currently looking at that. That's one of the things we need to review. And the elections code that outlines the requirements for vote centers has specific criteria. I think there are about 15 criteria we have to look at. So we're in the process of looking at the places we used in November 2020, looking at past locations to see how many fit the criteria, and, you know, criteria such as parking, public transportation, typically low vote by mail areas, areas with language minorities, and, you know, that's just to name a few of the criteria. So we will be looking at that, and the number of locations is based on the number of registered voters about 90 days before an election, and so that determines how many vote centers we would have, and then a few of them would be open starting 10 days before an election, and then all of them would be open starting 3 days before the election. So it's pretty spelled out in the elections code how this operates.
Terrific. So I want to shift gears a little bit here and talk about redistricting.
Okay.
We just completed the census. The census numbers are a little delayed coming out. We're hearing we may not have census numbers till early fall. But you want to talk a little bit about redistricting and what's your role in that?
Sure. Actually, our role is we come in at the very end after the final maps have been adopted, because what we have to do is in our election management system, we have to adjust the precincts to make sure they're in the new boundaries. And so when we get those new boundaries, then we look at making the adjustments to put the precincts in the right boundaries, the precincts that have been impacted. And so we are looking at, I think, needing information to do that local those local changes by end of December, first part of January, because for the June primary, the candidate filing period opens in February. So we'll need to make those adjustments before the candidate filing period opens. And I'm not sure, you know, what will happen at the state level. I know there's a citizen redistricting commission, and so I'm not sure when we would get any information from the state level, if there would be any changes for us at all.
So you'd have to have decisions essentially by the Board of Supervisors on any changes by the end of the year, so you can get ready for the June primary.
That would be ideal, yes. And I know it's causing some real compressed time frames for everybody because of the lateness of this data. And so, you know, we're just hoping that when the county gets it, you know, their process is relatively smooth, so we can get it in a reasonable amount of time to make the changes we need to make. But yeah, I know the lateness is causing some anxiety, I think, with the deadlines of things.
For everyone, I think, candidates sitting out there wondering which district they might end up in. So
exactly, yeah. Always,
and luckily in Marin, we have pretty small population shifts usually, so it doesn't usually have major changes, but you never know, and we don't know the data yet, so we're still waiting. You know, we will be having informational briefing on May 25th at the Board of Supervisors meeting about the redistricting in general and what the new rules around redistricting are, because the state, again, has applied some new rules about how that process is to work. And so we'll be getting an update from the CAO's office on May 25th. This, I guess the same day you're bringing us your Voter Choice Act. So
there you go. Yeah, it is. It kind of dovetails nicely.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to complete all that work and get you the information you need so you can not be too much under a time crunch for June.
Yeah, thank you.
So I think recently, did we not purchase some new voting machines? And wondering if those have been used now, and how are they working? And has that, in your mind, sped up the process, even though the mail-in ballots and the signature checking, I know, have added additional time for you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we purchased the new system. The board approved it in June of 2019. So we first implemented it. We had some local elections in November of 2019. So that was our first use of the system. And, you know, since then we've used it for the 2020 elections, and it works really well. The counting specifically is much faster, and we're finding that the counting can count as many in an hour as our old system used to take a day to count. So we're very pleased with that efficiency. And you're right, the thing that impacts probably the most in terms of getting ballots counted and getting results out quicker is just the process required to verify the signatures. And it depends on when we get ballots in the cycle. If we get more ballots earlier, then we can get those processed and counted, versus if we get them around Election Day or on Election Day or in the grace period after. You know, it just takes time to process those ballots before we can get them ready for counting. So that's, I think, what it kind of maybe confuses people sometimes is, well, why can't you just get them through the machines if it's so much quicker? But it's the processes of getting the ballots ready to be counted that slow things down. So, for example, going back to this current election and waiting for giving voters the appropriate time period to correct any signature problems on their envelope. You know, so it's these sorts of things that just kind of slow the process down. But once we get the ballots out of those envelopes and they're ready to count, the actual counting itself goes very quickly.
If I remember right, these machines, the counting all takes place at the Civic Center now. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, yeah. Correct. Okay. Yeah.
And with the voters, they should know that if the earlier they turn in their mail ballot, the easier it is for you, because actually you can do some of the work up front prior to the election.
Right, Right. So, yeah. And then if we get it early enough in the process, it takes us maybe at least a couple of days to go through the whole signature verifying, you know, actually physically getting the ballots out of the envelope. And of course, the bigger the election and the more ballots we have to deal with, the longer it takes. But, you know, we figure it takes about 2 days from when we get ballots to when we can get them out of envelopes. So, you know, people who get them in earlier, most likely their ballot can be counted in the election night results.
Very good. And I'm not sure that the residents would know this, but you have a voter advisory committee that mm-hmm. you work with. I believe they're appointed by the Board of Supervisors. Could you talk about that group and how it functions for you?
Sure. Actually, the Election Advisory Committee was created in 2006, so my predecessor brought that committee together. And it is a committee that is just, it's advisory only, so it's not a decision-making committee like a more formal committee. It's very informal, and I appoint the members rather than the board. It's not that formal of a committee. But the nice thing about having that committee is it serves the people on the committee serve as a link between the voting public and the registrar's office. And so, you know, they'll out in their communities, they may hear things amongst people, concerns or questions. And so they can bring that perspective to these meetings to help inform what we're doing here. So, you know, maybe if we get feedback about, hey, it'd be nice to have more signage at polling places, you know, that sort of interaction is really helpful. And they also help, for example, when we were getting the new voting system and we were reviewing the bids from the various companies, we had five members who helped review those bids and rank them. And so, you know, just having that sort of outside perspective, I think, is really good for the public as well, because they know that there are citizens that are interacting with my department. The committee members learn about laws, election laws and administration that maybe average people don't know because they're just not involved with how we really administer elections, all the details and everything we have to do. But so committee members also can take knowledge out into the community.
Is West Marin represented in that group, or how
yeah.
could someone get Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we do have a representative, and I'm grateful for that. She's really, you know, brings a beneficial perspective, as do all the members.
Good. That's terrific. I know the League of Women have a couple of representatives, mm-hmm. I believe, on there. So really
yeah.
a great group, and it's great to have advisory groups to help you figure out what your path forwards are in terms of making decisions. So that's great. Anything else you want to add today, Linda? We're kind of time to wrap up here.
I don't. This has been really a comprehensive conversation, Dennis, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk with the folks out in West Marin, one of my favorite places out, actually. It's beautiful out there.
Well, terrific. And thanks to Amanda for engineering today and reminding me to unmute. And Linda, great to have you here.
Thank you.
Great conversation with Dennis and Linda Roberts from the Marin County Register of Voters. Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming at kwmr.org. You can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows from our homepage, kwmr.org. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Coming up next is the Laura Flanders Show, followed by Cuerpo Corazon Comunidad.